stretch out, but your skin can bring you so much pain. Now I hear you say, you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes and tell me if you take my place? Under the cover of my skin,
hey guys, welcome to the May edition of the Shoe Geeks podcast. I'm joined by Julian, who's not at the running company this month. He's in Noosa, enjoying a holiday / training coaching camp. How you going, Julian?
Work from home, mate. Work from home. Just
but you're not
in
home.
Noosa. No, it's a nice place to work from home. Can get out, do a bit of running. Bit of dirt road action up here, not a lot of trails.
Yep.
But here for the weather.
And over in Sydney, the man who ran the same volume I have all year in your week last week, Tom DeCanto.
Is that true?
Yeah, I think it's actually true. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, good. Mm. Can't complain.
That's both impressive and sad at the same time.
Yeah, it is sad. Yeah, but it is disappointing, but you're in some good shape, Tommy, so we might be relying on you to talk a bit about what you've been rotating between, but yeah, so you might actually get the ball rolling for us, I reckon. Tell us a bit about your training and still training for Gold Coast and what shoes you've been sporting in the month of May and end of April.
Yeah, no worries. So I'm training towards Lawnie Half in, I think it's two and a half weeks now, and
yep.
then Gold Coast full 3 weeks after that. So I'm kind of in the depths now of marathon training. I've had a couple of lead ups where I felt like I do now, where I'm just like hanging by a thread. So I actually
it's a good feeling though.
I might need a rest day tomorrow to be fair. I did a massive session on Saturday and still just feeling it.
Yep.
I think last ep I was talking about my plantar fascia. It's still a bit sore. So basically, I've still sticking with pretty boring sort of shoes, like stability stuff. I think since last time we chatted, I've started using the Nike Structure. So that's another stability one I've added. So I'm using the 23s.
Tell us a bit about that shoe, because like I haven't worn the Structure for a couple of years now, and I saw your Instagram. You said this is sort of perhaps what you thought the Pegasus should be, and tell us a bit about that.
So they've softened it a touch, I believe, and removed the medial post. So I actually haven't used Structure for maybe 8 years.
Wow.
I haven't used it for ages. So mostly because I felt it was a bit harsh, not as soft as I like in a running shoe. But I wanted to try the 23 because it sounded like it was going to be more up my alley, being a little bit softer and not necessarily needing such a strong medial post. So it's actually postless. So I call this one a non-posted stability shoe. So the post is normally indicated with like a different color, like a gray on the medial side. Nike used it, previous models like that, that little cage-like thing that was coming down this side. This one's just getting stability from the geometry of the shoe. So I'm enjoying it. It feels like a stable neutral. I know, Julian, you reckon it does function a bit like the medial posted one. So you're saying it functions very stably. I actually haven't had many people come in the clinic running in it, so I don't actually have that viewpoint from looking at it on lots of feet. But personally, to me, it just feels like a moderately cushioned, stable shoe. Like, it's nothing fun, but it just serves the purpose now of just making sure I do some easy miles that aren't loading up the fascia or the Achilles too much. Feels a bit protective at the foot level for me, which is good.
And they don't use a React foam in that or a Lunaron. They've got that sort of same foam that the Joyride had, isn't that right? Like the SSO2. They had a weird name for the foam or something.
Yeah, it is. It has got a. Where is it?
It's got a. It's got the air zoom air pocket in the forefoot as well. So the unit's pretty. Yeah. I'm assuming pretty cushioned in the forefoot.
Yeah, it's got a nice pop in the forefoot, and I think it's just an EVA, right? It's just a bit of an old school EVA type feel. So a fair bit in that. Still using the Kano light. What else? I don't know if you guys are going to chat about it, if you've used it much, but the New Balance Vongo, the new Vongo, I don't think it's been around for a while. There was a Vongo previously, but yeah, so it's so like a stability 1080 kind of marketed as that. So it actually does have a medial post. I've only done officially one run in it. So, it felt pretty good out of the box on that one 10K run, but I can't really, I guess I need more time in the shoe to figure out if it's something I enjoy running in. But it feels like a good, I think it's going to be a good model for them. Having like a 1080 feels with a medial post, so those people that just feel like they need a touch more stability, probably get it out of this new one called the Vongo.
Yeah, I've done most of my running volume in the Vongo so far, and the medial posting is, I'll talk a bit more about it later, but the medial posting still not super dense either. Like it's a pretty nice transition. It just feels like a slightly more high pitched. Although I don't think it is high pitched than the 1080, but it is a bit firmer on the medial side. They flare the midsole a bit actually as the posting.
Feels like it has more guts, I reckon, to me. Like 1080 maybe a little soft. I don't know. To me, it feels like it's softer, and the Vongo feels like it's a bigger person shoe.
Yeah.
Oh, you got a different colour than me.
Yeah, this is the colour I got given. It looks like a 1080, and the posting on the inside, if I just get the camera right, you can see it's sort of flared a bit on the medial, and obviously they changed the colour of it just a touch on the medial posting, but it's still quite a compliant posting as well. But no, the forefoot feels soft. I don't know. I actually haven't compared it to the 1080 stack height in terms of its specs, but the forefoot still feels plush and the rear foot feels stable. The upper is, in my opinion, a better update than the 1080 was. Like, it still has this tapered away heel counter, but it's a bit softer in the heel counter and a little bit more substance, so a little bit firmer, I would say, but enough internal cushioning in the rear foot to make it enjoyable. So I like the upper. I don't have a wide foot, though, but I actually found the upper to be quite a good fit for me. But I know Julian might have found it a little bit on the narrower side.
Yeah, I was running in it for a long run, and I knew it was a bit narrow for me but I didn't realize it was dangerously narrow until I did a long run and my pinky just got absolutely crushed. And so that was probably 4, 5 or 6 weeks ago. I've still got remnants of that trauma to the little toe. It's also got a more secure, or I don't have it with me, but the upper is a little bit more substantial than the 1080. So when there is a bit of pressure against it, it forces back, whereas the 1080 knit seems to just give to where if the foot pushes against it, it just gives to the pressure. So this one here, actually, it goes back. I'll get you up.
It's funny, like the top, the really dorsum of the shoe, it is still quite compliant, but on the walls, as you're saying, like medial and lateral, that's like slightly more reinforced. But technically on this bit through here is still compliant, but I believe the 1080 has that all the way through on the borders as well.
It does, yeah. It's more flexible. But, yeah, it's a nice shoe underfoot, definitely. It's an old-school design with a new-school feel. That's how I've sort of described it.
And, I mean, I guess categorically, like, you can put it next to a structured Tri-X as well. And, ASICS have their new GT and their new Kano 28 coming out, the GT 2010. And they're starting to use a lot more of their compliant soft foams now in their midsoles. And you'll find in the new GT, the GT 2000 series, which will be categorically in that area similar to the Kayano, you'll find they've removed sort of the Duo Max posting now, and they're using a system called like Light Truss, so they're increasing the surface area in the medial column, but they're not using heaps dense medial postings anymore. And I'd argue while this has a medial posting on it, it's not super dense, it's just more so flared a little bit more on the medial side. So I'm interested that all these shoes, like the Structure GT, Vongo, and even the new Kano, soft, enjoyable forefoots with slightly stable rear foots seems to be the go, and slightly more surface area in the middle of the shoe.
Yeah. That's a good point.
GT2000 as well, getting rid of the plastic bit, the shank.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. I mean, you'll know. I can see some ASICS boxes in the background there. You've had a bit of a surprise drop today by the looks of it, and you'll learn more about the Kano 28 and GT2000 when Jace visits you later this week. I was surprised, like, you know, going to a podiatry clinic. You know, I didn't realize how many Kanos and GT2000s were sold, because we don't refer off for them. I don't know about you guys, but we don't refer off for them that often. We're usually, you know, referring off for more enjoyable running shoes. You know, the Nova Blast has been a good one from ASICS, and a lot of the runners we see are gravitating to more fun shoes. But now the GT2000 and the Kano 28 were probably the two big updates from, like, what's coming up in the second half of the season, because the foams are becoming more like, you know, not far off what, you know, the Nimbus Lite 2 was, and this flight foam material is making it a bit more enjoyable, but they're sort of removing away these big postings that they sort of made their profits from, I would say. Duo Max has probably been associated to ASICS for a long time.
Yeah, for sure. I had Jace come in this morning.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. You want me to show you the Nova Blast 2?
Absolutely, yep. Ours hasn't landed yet.
So I've chatted on here before about version 1. I love Nova Blast, the first version. I know a lot of people had issues with stability, so it was, you know, high stack, soft foam, relatively narrow base. So some people had issues with it just their foot sort of falling off the shoe a little bit. Or I even had a couple of guys from Run Crew, I think, probably had an increased risk of ankle sprain. And actually, there was a couple of people that had ankle sprains in the Nova Blast that might have possibly increased their risk using that shoe on surfaces that weren't road. I've got version 2 here. So basically version 2 is a subtle update to version 1 and probably addressing that stability issue a lot of people had. So version 2 has a bit of a change in geometry. So version 1 on the medial side here had, like, it was just more cut away. So it had larger indentations or concavities where essentially it allowed that this side to compress more. So I think just by filling that in a little bit, it's meant that as the foot comes down, it doesn't seem to want to crush on the inside quite as much. And in addition to that, it's actually slightly, so it's lower drop, it's 8 mil instead of 10. And the drop comes from an increase in forefoot. So it's not a reduction in the heel, it's an increase in forefoot thickness. So people that do land and use the forefoot a lot, they'll probably find that extra bit of cushion is actually pretty good as well.
And so for those who...
a bit more forefoot cush.
Yeah, and those who hit the heel probably be more stable without that concavity. I thought that was the biggest change from the Glide Ride 1 to the Glide Ride 2. They had that large concavity on the lateral part of the midsole on the Glide Ride 1, and it was still there in number 2, but it was substantially less. And so because of that, I found the shoe to feel a bit firmer, to be honest, but definitely more stable.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the same. For someone who pronates a lot like I do, that first Nova was a very enjoyable shoe, but had some risks. So this is an update that I think they've nailed. A lot of the time, companies get it right in the second version. And I reckon ASICS has done that with this one.
So it's pretty much what they did with Nimbus Lite, right? So Nimbus Lite 1 was fun, lots of fun, but pretty unstable. And number 2 sort of retained some of the funness, but became more stable. So I reckon that's kind of what they've done with this one. It'd probably suit a broader range of runners. And the upper feels better as well, actually. So version 2 upper just feels a bit softer, a bit more premium than the version 1 was. I don't know, just looked, yeah, a little bit cheaper, I guess.
Got it.
A little bit cheaper.
All right. Well, I'm going to bring out a shoe this time that hasn't been on the market yet either, like the Nova Blast 2. So this shoe here is called the Adidas Boston 10. The Boston 9 in the past followed traditional Boston sort of structure, which was lower stack, lightweight trainer. And the Boston 10 has gone a different way. So it's gone to a higher stack, more rocket plated training shoe. The shoe features Lightstrike Pro, which is Adidas's kind of premium, like it feels like a, I don't have the actual details on it, but it feels like a PBAX type foam. It's their sort of premium racing foam that you find in the Adios Pro 2, which is coming out soon as well. When you look from the base, you can see it's got this continental rubber, so great traction, great durability. And then in the guts, you can see those rods or those prongs. Now, those prongs are what gives the shoe the rigidity. So instead of a plate, it uses these rods, which the Adios Pro 2 also has. You'll find that the Adios Pro 2 cuts this whole section out, whereas the Boston keeps it in, making it a lot more stable and a lot more, I guess, better for easier runs. To me, this shoe is an easy run shoe. Some people like that are bigger units maybe might enjoy it for race day because it's got a lot of substance underfoot. It's got some funny upper on it. Still, Adidas still rolling with these like suede overlays, which feels pretty old school. Gives it a bit of an old school look as well. I'll sort of try to show you like that up front. Relatively broad. So for me, that's a good thing, especially for more of a trainer. Heel cup. Has this you can see here, see the foam? They almost like encapsulate a bit of foam and show you on the lateral and medial side of the heel counter, the foam on the outside of the shoe. So that's pretty odd, but again, it gives it a cool look. So I think it's like, well, I think it's about 44 mil in stack, so pretty high up, 10 mil drop. So this is going to release in June. So that's something to keep an eye out for.
What did you say you'll use that for? Easy or?
I'll use that for easy days.
Okay.
For me, tempos, I can't get away from super shoes for tempos. Like, I want something lighter. with the amount of super shoes out there and how cushioned they are, I can't put a shoe on that weighs sort of 300 grams like the Boston and feel fast in it anymore. So I've got enough of these in the cupboard to use them for training days. So this is the RC Elite 2 from New Balance. It's just come out, carbon fiber plate, higher stack, more rocker than version number one. This is probably the most cushioned of all the race shoes out there. So to me, again, something that you could probably almost wear day to day with the amount of cushion.
Does it act as responsive as the first one? I know the first model I found was less of a super shoe, but it was really responsive and the foams were fine, but it was because it was lower stack.
And underneath, you can see the carbon plate exposed.
Yeah, you can see it battling a little bit.
It's more cushioned, it's more plush. I mean, the foam is bouncy, so you get that aspect. The foam is bouncy, so you get that sort of aspect of response, but it's not the Adidas shoe, that Lightstrike Pro is actually quite firm, and that's a different sort of, that's what I traditionally call responsive, is firmer foam rather than bouncy foam.
Yep. Well, I've tried the Adios Pro 2 on as a sample. It was a size too small, but it was the most responsive first feel I've had on my foot, so I'm excited for that shoe to come out in the next month or two.
Yeah, I think it's coming soon. We actually got some in store. They've arrived. They're just not released. So there's going to be a bit of action around that. Very limited units. It's going to be a pretty crazy drop, actually. Probably one of the most sought after.
Can you let us know when?
We're not getting a size 13.
I told you.
I actually don't know. We don't have a 13. They didn't give us one.
Lock in the 13.
We don't get to choose this stuff.
So 11
and a half is the biggest. And it's mine.
Well, Moose's internet's battling a little bit as well. I'll ask a little bit about Tommy because he's doing the most training at the moment. So you're still doing big sessions at the moment, mate. Are you, like Julian said, he can't get away from wearing super shoes for his tempo workouts. What are you wearing predominantly for your workouts, whether they're around Gore Hill or whether they're around Centennial Park?
Yeah, so I've been sticking with the midweek Gore Hill, or I'm going to this other synthetic oval as well near me with the Dragonfly. So there's traditional like interval sessions with standing recovery.
Yep.
If I was doing like a session with jog recovery, I probably wouldn't use spikes because I don't really enjoy jogging recoveries in spikes, but that session...
I'm surprised you're even wearing spikes now, training for Launceston and you know, Gold Coast anyway, but is it just the feel? Is it just the times you're looking for? Like, why aren't you putting on like an RC Elite 1 or a, yeah, something like that?
Well, I don't have an RC Elite 1 for starters.
Nah.
it's more because I do like the variety. I get a bit, I don't know, like I actually do get a little bit sick of just wearing super shoes for every session. I run differently in the spike and I feel like it helps me, I think it helps with technique, to be honest. So it helps with my cadence, my leg turnover. I think I run differently in that and I think it probably translates to some sort of benefit, neuromuscular maybe, but
yeah,
it just feels good to wear a light shoe and just get the leg turnover going, and get up on the forefoot. Yeah, so that's why I do that, I think. And it's protective enough for me. Like, I don't pull up sore in like calves or anything wearing that spike. So I think it's minimal injury risk for possible gains with just a variety in a shoe that's not always a super shoe.
Of course, yep.
And I guess I'll save the super shoes for... I'm using them predominantly for the longer sessions. That's normally the Saturday Centennial sessions. We did a couple of weeks ago, we did this hilly tempo around Centennial, which is kind of a staple of ours. And I actually wore the first time I did a proper session in that Metaspeed Sky, the ASICS super shoe. The run I did before that was just like a 6K tempo. And I was like, yeah, it's good. And I think it was probably the best other than Next Percent that I've worn. But after doing that hilly tempo, I was like, no, this is legitimately a really good shoe. Like, I think it's up there. Like, I don't think I would be psychologically put off if I had to wear it in a race. Like, I still will pick Next Percent because I just think it's possibly a touch softer. I'm used to it. I'm going to wear that for Lawnie and for Gold Coast. But it's a good shoe. It's maybe slightly more stable. The forefoot cushion is there. It's light and nimble. It doesn't feel clunky on my foot. Yeah, it's a good shoe. So pulled up well from that hilly session. I guess I've actually whipped out the cross country spikes as well. So we did a cross country loop at CP.
Yeah,
not the super.
Is this to keep Gary happy as well, or is it?
No, Gary. So Gary's pretty, you know, we know he's got pretty strong opinions about super shoes and their use in competition. And I've tried to get a lot of runners out of the super shoes for the cross country course because of all the turns, and have had some runners pull up with like sore ankles, sore tip post, perineals, things that are trying to stabilize the ankle, probably because they're unstable surface, high stack shoe, lots of sharp turns. And then Gary the other week's wearing the Next Percents on the cross country course. So I was like, Gary, come on.
I wore the state cross country last year was on a golf course here in Adelaide, and I put the Vaporfly on. I reckon Zara had just been born like maybe 2 weeks early, and I was, you know, just wasn't running a lot, and I could going around one of the hairpins, which was just a bunker, and the shoe came off my foot. So I had to stop and put the shoe back on my foot because it was such, you know, eroding off my foot. So, and that happened. So, I mean, but there was benefits to it when I was running on the flats, just on a really turny course. There's, you know, that's what the Dragonfly is truly built for, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's about it for me. Like, that's, I guess I'm still, yeah, I use the Next Percent for a big marathon session I did on Saturday. And I do think, I think we spoke about this with you guys, but I do feel like there's a difference in softness between some of the Next Percent models. Like, It just feels like I got one. This the latest next percent I got feels way softer than the previous two next percents I've had. She's sort of.
You're excited for that though, I'm assuming.
I like it.
Yeah,
I like the softness. Although I got half the size up than I normally get, and I had to. I think that's I laced a bit firmly because it was getting a bit loose, and now I've got an extensor tendonitis. So that's fun. So I'm dealing with that as well now.
So managing, like, speaking of injury, Julian's coming off the back of an Achilles. Are we still carrying it, for example? I mean, have you gone down the rabbit hole trying to find shoes that are reducing pain there, or is it just a bit of a dead-end route just because the Achilles is so flared?
Yeah, I've tried every shoe, basically. Every shoe I own. I've tried the minimal shoe. I'm yet to run barefoot, but for me, stiffness is probably the best thing that I can go for right now. Actually, this shoe here, I'll just quickly grab it. The New Balance More V3. This heel cup at the back is by far the nicest on my Achilles out of any shoe I've gone for. It could do with probably a little bit more rigidity for what I want it for, but the heel cup, it just takes any pressure away from the Achilles. And if I was ever getting any sort of compression related issue from shoes, then this one here looks after it the best. Whereas the Boston, where you can see it does have this hook back in, and this morning when I ran in this, I did feel like a little bit too much firmness pressing in. So definitely the More V3. Quick rundown on the V versus the V2 is it's got more outer sole underneath. It's definitely a more luxurious or premium upper. The heel cup's better, without a doubt. It's still the same weight and everything, but it just seems like it's a more practical shoe than V1.
It's quite a large shoe chain. I'll just grab the sample. I've got the V1 just up here on the wall. So that was a really stiff shoe, the V1, but I used to refer off for it for a big toe arthritis and midfoot arthritis because it was like or even metatarsal stress, people coming back off that, returning back to dose because it was so stiff. So when people went to the second model of the New Balance more, they found it, you know, not for the same purpose because it became more compliant through the midsole. So I'll just grab that V1.
Yeah. While Nita grabs the shoe, I'll just be one sec, Jacko.
That's the V1. But I tell you what, it's like it looks a lot higher than what it is, but when you start pushing down the walls, you're sitting about halfway up. That's not as high stacked as it looks, but geez, you could hardly bend this shoe. So,
yep, about as stiff as a shoe gets.
Yep.
All right. So why don't we welcome our guest here on Shoe Geeks? We have two 11 marathoner, Jack.
Yeah, not quite 2:10. How's it going, fellas?
Not yet. Hey, welcome.
Jack. Hey, Jack.
How's it going? Can everyone hear me?
Yeah. Everyone would know Jack as well, but I'm just going to go through a couple of these PBs here. But I didn't know this one. You're a 358 mile back in 2017, Jack. That's a pretty good PB. So
hand-timed.
Hand-timed, yeah. It's got the little tapes next to it. And and then, you know, 13:34 for 5 and 27:59 in the Netherlands for the 10K. And, 2:11:06 for the marathon. And you're training for Tokyo at the moment. I'm not sure if the team's been announced yet or that's still...
No, still hasn't been announced, but I think maybe the end of this week.
I think.
Who knows? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
is
good.
No one really threatening anymore, given that Tommy was probably the biggest threat and he's not running. So
Someone had a crack this last weekend, didn't they, Tommy? Who was Gary saying ran
2:13? Yeah, Reese Edwards had a good crack.
Wait, what are you on? 2:13?
Yeah, 2:13.
I didn't even know. Jeez, that's pretty...
Tune in, Inside Running Podcast, for all your running news.
I've been a bit slack.
Jack, we wanted to get you on because obviously you're a shoe geek. We see you with different shoes on, whether it's sort of sneakers, like casual sneakers or the new Nike premium running range. Like, so we know you love your shoes, so we wanted to have a chat.
I liked them over the years. Got stuck into them when I was kind of 17 or so. I just got into sneakers and then kind of got stuck into it there, and then kind of put running shoes on the back burner, but still was a bit interested. But yeah, now obviously got more back into it now that I've gone with Nike and whatnot and been running full time.
Just a general question, is this the most exciting period of like footwear that you've been through just because of the performance range, or is there like periods in the past decade you're like, oh yeah, that was a pretty good part in footwear when things were developing as well?
No, definitely in the last few years after the kind of super shoes came out, it was probably when it's been the most exciting. Kind of, yeah, it took a few years for all the other brands to get their shoe out there, but now it's kind of probably the most busy it's ever been. All the brands pumping them out.
I just want to bring this up because I remember watching you run a race, a 10K on the road in Launceston back in, I think, 2018. And you might have had one of the original Vaporflies back then, you know, the red, like the red colour.
The original red pair, yeah.
You came out and you just smoked. You ran like 28:30. You and Sinead both had a good run that day. And that would have been was that the first race you wore it in?
Yeah, first time. I never even did a stride at him. I'm like, I knew. I just heard. I heard all about him. I'm like, yeah, these shoes will be cool.
But what were your thoughts? You're obviously in good shape then, so you ran well because you were fit. But you cross the line and think, oh shit, these are different. These make a difference. Or
oh yeah, for sure. Like you still have to do the running, but yeah, they just do make that small part. They play a small part in it. But yeah, kind of the whole 2018. I would just be training in regular flats, and I never had raced at him, and I pretty much did the whole year just training in like streaks and Zoom elites, and then I would only race in the Vaporflies. But now it's like kind of now that everyone has them, the whole group trains in them now, so it's changed a little bit.
Well, that's actually, we had a question. Tommy and I got asked by a question, one of your mates over in Run Crew discussed, you know, what do you think the effect of training in, you know, in the super shoes are? Is it, you know, can you just handle more dose of training? That's why you wear them, or do you think there's an effect, like a learning effect to wearing them, or do you think maybe, you know, wearing them too often? Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I think the main part is you pull up a lot better, like after doing a big marathon session or like K reps or whatever. I think you just pull up so much better after wearing them compared to like if you're wearing like a streak or something. I would just get really, really sore calves. And just feel banged up. Like, yeah, even on the track, if you do a race in spikes, now it's different because you got the Dragonflies. So you just
absolutely
you pull up way better.
Yeah, I've got a question. Tommy also has a question. Tom, so Jack, when you get a new shoe, come in the range. So back then, I think it was late 2017 when the shoe actually dropped. Do you have some education around that from Nike? Or is it kind of up to yourself to do the research on what it can be good for and how you're going to use it in your rotation?
Yeah, pretty much up to yourself. They didn't really give any explanation about them besides just what other people heard online. So, yeah, I just did my research on them and then just thought, yeah, got to get myself a pair. And then, yeah, now I've got a fair few.
What's your It seems like, because I saw you running, you obviously ran Launceston in December last year, and I was actually interested to see that you decided to wear the Alphaflies for a 10K. Is that your preferred shoe for, like, any distance on the road?
No, I think I like the Vaporfly. I like the Vaporfly a lot better than the Alphafly, but, yeah, I've kind of just used them for training now on the roads. I like them then, but, yeah.
Is that just from your feel, like you just hit the ground a bit differently in the Vaporfly, or they work better for you, or?
Yeah, the Alphafly just felt a bit too soft in the forefoot, maybe with those airbags. I don't know if it's a different kind of feeling. Yep. I think all you guys have tried them out, right? Do you like them?
I've had a pair sitting freshly for a while. These are, but he can't wear them, so they're sitting in the clinic. But they're fresh and they're waiting to be worn. But I actually haven't worn them yet, so I'm interested to see. They must have a different sort of sweet spot. Some people like them. I think if you're a bigger person, I thought you'd probably prefer the shoe. I actually thought it'd be firmer under forefoot with the AirPods, but if it's softer,
yeah.
Oh, geez.
It's strange. Like when they came out, you saw like heaps of people wearing them for marathons, but now it's like gone backwards and everyone's wearing the Vaporfly again. And it's like rare to see a pair of someone wearing the Alphaflies in a race.
Well, Tommy refuses to go there because he thinks he'll be a non-responder even before he's tried them on.
I haven't even, Julian just calls me a tight ass, but I haven't even got a pair to try yet.
Expensive as well, aren't they?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, you know, Nike in the past couple of years, you can almost say that general volume running shoes have changed a bit. Historically, you'd wear like a Pegasus or a Vomero. But now we've got like the likes of the Infinity and even the Invincible. Have you found like just picking your general day-to-day volume shoe? Obviously, you've got lots of options. Have you preferred like wearing traditional Pegasus or a structured Triax, or you've been sort of gravitating to like, you know, the new Infinity or the Invincible?
Yeah, I've tried both of them. I really like the Invincibles. I think I was listening to just the previous month's one, and one of you guys was saying that you'd been wearing them. I think Tom saying you've been wearing them too much. You kind of get used to them.
Pretty much. But
yeah, I think I did fall into the same trap, thinking, wow, these shoes are really good. I like them. And then you go back to wearing a peg, and you're like, yeah, I don't know. I think I did wear them too much, but now I'm just using them for easy runs. But yeah.
That's exactly it. That shoe is neat. Like, I've just come back to running after having osteitis pubis, and that's a soft shoe. But I tell you what, that is a really enjoyable slow running shoe. You're not built to run fast in that shoe, but it is extremely enjoyable when you're running at easy pace.
Yeah, for sure. We only really wear them for a slow run, try and slow myself down.
Yeah.
Hey, when you were a teenager, Jack, you picked up a New Balance sponsorship at some point. Before that, like when you were buying your own shoes, what were you buying? What was the shoe that you would go for?
Before that, wait 1 second.
Yeah, like, while Jack's gone, like I tell you what, I've done most of my volume in the Invincible recently.
She's constantly it's been fantastic.
Barking. No, Jack's
before that, I would be wearing either. I actually wore Brooks for a few years before I was with New Balance, like just buying Brooks Ghosts, I think they were. Wow. And other than that, I had maybe the odd pair of Nikes if I won them from a race. I think I had the Nike Lunar Eclipse, if anyone remembers them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was
them till they died for like 2 years probably. But yeah, then New Balance for a few years. I'd be wearing the 890s. And I think that was my main shoe with them. And they kind of got into the fresh foams with the last year I was with them.
Yep.
And then, yeah, back to buying Nikes before I got sponsored.
Mm. Have you had like a really favorite like volume running shoe from Nike? I mean, it's pretty tough to compete against the ones now, but like I love the Miro 12s and 13s when they're around.
The Miro 12s, hands down, will probably be my favorite ever shoe to date. I think, yeah, I had a pair in 2017 or 2018 and I wore them like for 9 months straight. And I think I put almost 2,000 Ks into them. I was trying to work it out and they were still going.
They were fantastic. They were Lunar on midsole. That was soft.
Yeah,
you still see Jen Lacaz wearing the purple pink ones, and they must be old, those shoes.
She was tracking down every last pair in existence of them, because I think the new ones hurt her Achilles or something.
Well, the 13 was a pretty similar. I think it was an upper update.
Yeah, it's just a different upper. Yeah.
Yeah, the 14 was a. It just didn't work, I didn't think. So I think the midsole with the forefoot was too thin. I don't know.
I got a few pairs sitting in the box at home that I just never wore.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it, I'm interested, Jack, so to say, you know, being sponsored and like many, like myself and many listeners never sort of experienced that. What's it like? Like how often do you get, like a drop of shoes, like, you know, always see these on Instagram, like, you know, sponsored runners getting like these boxes, and it's like, geez, a lot of envy going on there. Like, what's it like? Do you get like as many shoes as you need, or which shoes you want?
Yeah, definitely get as many shoes as we need. Sometimes we get to pick, like we do have an account with Nike, so we can order stuff, just whatever's on the Elite account. But yeah, and then they'll just send out the odd pair of shoes. If there's a new, like a new peg or a new Vomero, they'll usually send them over, or like a Invincible or whatnot. But no, it is really, really nice getting to try all the different shoes, seeing what you like.
You guys sometimes get used as a bit of a tool in the marketing for the release of some very strange shoes, like the Joyride back when that came out.
Yeah, that was an odd shoe. I wore it a couple of times and
Yeah,
I can't really say that I would use it again.
The marketing team sort of tends to clash with obviously the running community, I think, a little bit on those things. Do you ever provide feedback back to go, hey, this isn't a running shoe? You're not, like, surely you're not trying to sell it as such?
No, to be honest, they don't really ask.
Yeah.
No.
I always find that kind of like strange. You guys run more than anyone else in the world in their product. Like you would be the perfect test subject for feedback.
we would. I think they need to get onto it.
Yeah. Mm. And I guess, I mean, you're in a big block of training now leading into to the marathon in Tokyo. And, you know, obviously now you've got the opportunity to wear your super shoes for your fast running sessions. Are there any days where you still put on a Zoom streak anymore or like you used to? Or is it just something that's obsolete now?
I wish we could still do it. But, yeah, now it's kind of the whole group's just gone to Vaporflies for every session, even the hill rep sessions at Wattle Park, the whole squad's wearing them.
Yeah, fair
it's
enough.
Like, I never thought I'd see it where it's like that, but now it is. But yeah, I think I will. I want to start going back to wearing like Zoom Elites for thresholds on the grass or something. But yeah, mm-hmm. I think everyone is wearing them a bit too much, and I wonder if it does lead to like loading differently. So I think maybe in 2019 when I got my sacral stress fracture, I was wondering if it's because wearing the shoes too much. Not sure. But yeah, they seem to be on the increase.
Absolutely. And it's tricky as well. Like, we saw so many sacral stress fractures here at our clinic, and it's obviously confounded by people doing marathon training, obviously run longer work. They tend to be more fatigued and calorie deficient. So that's a big risk to getting a sacrum stress fracture anyway. But yeah, I find that when I'm wearing the super shoes, you hit the ground, you have less perceptual consequence, your legs are a bit straighter. Maybe the load goes a bit above, but coming from a background where you have a lot of shin and lower leg problems, it feels good to not wake up with sore calves after a training session.
Yeah, it's hard
not to get involved in that. So,
Yeah, it's like once you go to them, it's like hard to go back.
Absolutely.
I feel like it is, yeah.
Hey, Jack, for Tokyo, have you guys been given some special product from Nike, or are you aware of sort of what you'll be wearing on the day? Color-wise?
We got sent. I don't know if these will be what we're wearing, but we got the new color.
Oh,
of the,
nice.
Yeah,
lovely.
What do you think of the update, the upper?
I haven't worn them yet, but Brett wore them at the tan the other day, and he liked them. We've got the Alpha Fly laces and just a better upper.
So that's the Tokyo color, right? That's the Olympic color.
Yeah, I think so. It's got the 2021 on the inside. So,
oh, yeah.
I think that's the one, but who knows? With Nike, they'll probably have a brand new shoe on the day or a brand new colorway that no one's seen. They always like to have some surprises up their sleeve.
And you've been able to train with Brett a fair bit. Has he gravitated to wearing the Vaporfly more than the Alphafly as well?
Brett still trains in the Alphafly every now and then. Yeah, he probably wears it just as much as I do. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Probably once a week or once a fortnight.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing I do like doing is wearing like Vaporflies that are pretty beaten up, just so when you go to a race and you can put on a fresh pair, you can kind of feel a bit of a difference. So all the Vaporflies I train in are pretty old. And I kind
what's
of like
what's
feeling.
The, I mean, you probably don't track your volume specifically in a shoe, but what do you think is the longest or the most volume you've got out of a Vaporfly so far?
Oh, it would probably be the Flyknit ones, the Vaporfly 2. Yeah. I wore them pretty much for every session leading up to New York Marathon. So, I don't know. Fair few Ks. They got pretty beaten up. But, yeah, looking at, like, some of them, like Stewie's ones, he'll wear them for a few weeks and they'll already be, like, showing the plate just the way he runs. He just
on the outside
side of them. Yeah, but mine never get too beaten up. I think the way I run is, like, doesn't wear them out too quickly.
Is that Stewie on the outside of his 4 foot sort of thing? It starts
on
the plate.
Yeah, and then the plate will be showing after a couple of months. I'm a bit far out.
Do you have a really long run shoe?
I had been loving the Pegasus Turbo like last year and the year before, but now I'm kind of just going back to the Vomero and the regular Pegs just for long runs. I had worn the Invincibles a couple of times for long runs, but I think it's just a bit too long for them.
Yeah,
especially when you're trying to go a little bit quicker at some stages.
Could you handle the Infinity models for longer running, or you just didn't get involved in that as much?
Yeah, no, the Infinity. Yeah, I'm trying to get my head around. They got the names are too similar. Yeah, the Infinity run I really enjoyed. I had the first version of them, and then the second as well. Yeah, I love them. I'd wear them for long runs as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you still have your first pair of shoes? First pair of running shoes?
I do. They're not with me. They're at my parents' house. But they were the Nike ACG Terra Sebek. You've probably never seen them before, but I'll show you a photo.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's...
2005.
What are they?
They were kind of a running shoe.
Trail shoe or something.
Yeah, they look like a trail shoe.
They look like that.
Oh, wow.
It's like crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they look like something you'd wear these days.
Yeah, I would. I'd definitely still wear them if I had them in my size, but they're about that big.
Yeah. Do I not provide you with like good casual shoes as well?
Yeah, if there's any on the Nike Elite side, I'll try and snag a pair. But yeah,
nice.
Over the years, I've got a fair few shoes, too many. Yeah.
Hey, what's the biggest mistake you see in your group with footwear? Like, do you see some people just making horrible mistakes, given that you're a bit more into your shoes?
What kind of mistakes would you mean?
Someone wearing, like, the Invincible, maybe at Fernie Creek and on the trails, or wearing shoes that are just way too small for them. Or someone who's, pronates excessively, who's wearing a really unstable, I don't know, anything that you sort of look at and go, oh, this is an easy fix.
Not really, to be honest. Like, most people got their heads switched on at training, so they wouldn't be doing anything too silly. But, yeah, maybe people wearing shoes that are too small for them or too big for them, I see a little bit. I'm like, how are you doing that? Like, how do you not know your shoe size? But, yeah, nothing too crazy.
Who's got the worst feet? Like, the most, like, destroyed toenails and just looking
Brett's
like...
Brett's feet are pretty crooked.
Yeah.
He's got, like, hard-beating toenails. trying to think who else. Oh, Barber's probably got the worst out of the group.
I reckon that is sticky feet too.
Yeah, very.
So, Jack, what's your plan coming up? You've got Gold Coast? Oh, no, you got what, Launceston 10?
Yeah, Launie 10. Hopefully the borders aren't shut in a few weeks' time. But yeah, Launie 10 and then Gold Coast half, and then we'll stay up to Cairns after that for a few weeks, and then we'll be over to Sapporo.
And that was one question I was going to ask. You guys spent a bit of time doing heat training. Are you finding a few of the foams are reacting differently in the hot compared to the cold weather up there, or you don't really notice that difference?
It hasn't really been in Cairns when we were up there. It was getting up to like four, no hotter than 30. So
yeah,
I don't really notice a difference of the feeling of any of the foams. But
yep.
We have been running in there, treadmill in the heat chamber back in Melbourne. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it gets a bit slippy on the treadmill once you start sweating. But yeah. I didn't realize how wet your shoes get in an hour run. They get absolutely drenched. So yeah.
I think the second
what was that?
Because Jack, how do you manage obviously you've got the Olympics coming up, you want to like perform as best as you can on the big stage. How do you balance like getting as fit as you've ever been versus minimizing like injury risk? Obviously you had that sacral stressy that would have been a real shit to get over. They're not fun from all accounts.
Nah,
so,
not at all.
Yeah, so is there anything you put in place to sort of minimize? You mentioned, wondering whether it was the shoe, obviously, that was linked to that. Like how do you balance that?
Yeah, you're always kind of treading on a fine line when you're running so many Ks. So it's just being careful not to increase your load too much and not peaking like 2 months before the actual marathon. So it's kind of like you just got to play it smart and get through the training 1 week at a time. And then hopefully you're not going to be too cooked by the time you start your taper. So yeah.
Have you seen your program going forward?
I haven't looked into it too much. I kind of don't. I have a rough idea of what's coming, but yeah, nothing really has changed too much besides our Friday session and our long run's going to be getting longer. But yeah, it'll be similar to what we've done in the previous build-ups. I think it'll start this week. We'll have like 2K reps, then we'll go 3K reps, 4K, 5K, 6K, that kind of thing, and then a few maybe longer efforts. But yeah, so I kind of have a rough idea what's coming. Yeah.
Mm. Beautiful. Do you still have any Vomero 12s left at all?
No. I think I have a few dead pairs that's hanging in the back of my cupboard somewhere. But yeah, no fresh pairs. They're all worn. Well, yeah, I wish I had a pair.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Did you ever have the Lunar Racer?
I did. I loved them. I had the Lunar Racer 3s, I think. Yeah, yeah. A really great shoe.
I was wondering with you. Forget how young you are, whether you actually wore these.
Yeah, no, I had a pair. I'm looking forward to the, I don't know what the name of it, but the Zoom X racing shoe without, is it, I think it might not have a plate.
Streak Fly.
Yeah. That should be a cool shoe.
I saw a silhouette of it this morning in a meeting with Nike.
Yeah. So it's got no plates, right?
No plates, nah, just like a shank.
Yeah. So I think that could be a good shoe to get back into not wearing Vaporflies for every session.
That might solve that.
So it could be like a K rep, like shorter rep shoe, which will be good.
New Balance tried that with their Rebel 2. You know, they took the plate out of that shoe, kept the foam the same. Tom was saying it's a nice transition shoe to get back out of a potentially a plated shoe or get towards a track spike. So, yeah. But I'm not sure. Are you sure the Streak Fly doesn't have a plate? I don't know if we know that.
No, it doesn't. I do. I saw it this morning.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, it's going to be next year, early next year. Yep. Oh, well, not that early, but you won't be wearing it like for Zadav. Oh, well, maybe you will. I think Japan gets the release first.
Actually, one question I did have, a lot of your training partners are still focusing on the track and you yourself are, and you got to wear the Dragonfly this year and you wake up and you know, how far removed does that feel like a traditional spike for you compared to, say, wearing a Vaporfly? Like if you ran a 10K on track tomorrow and there were no restrictions, would you gravitate to wearing a Vaporfly or would you wear the Dragonfly for a 10K?
I'd probably wear the Dragonfly, to be honest. I just found them so comfortable, and they don't really feel like a Vaporfly at all, but they just feel really, really good. Like the foam is just amazing. Lower to the ground, feel like you can run quicker in them, have a bit more change of pace. But yeah, I'd definitely go for anything on the track. I'd go in a Dragonfly.
Yeah, it's one market we haven't seen other shoes or other brands quite jump into. Your ASICs got one. I saw Emma Coburn on Instagram had one of the New Balance ones coming out. So Nike definitely, and all your teammates would have been wearing that Dragonfly and thinking, oh, no, I'm not sure what Grego thinks. Now, Grego ran his old record in a traditional spike. I'm not sure if he finds it much different at all. But, you know, I wonder what he'd be thinking if he had that spike when he was a bit younger, whether it could handle more training on the track or whether it's just a bit softer and easier for an older body now or...
Yeah, who knows?
You weren't tempted to go over to Puma then, were you, Jack?
We never actually got offered anything from Puma, so not too tempted.
All rumors.
Yeah, rumors that floating around the whole group was going to Puma, but no.
There were some rumors for sure.
Yeah, I know. People were hearing about it before us. I'm like, oh, really?
Did you sample some other brands in the while there were negotiations going on?
Yeah, we did. So Brett and I got the Adios Pro, the Adidas shoe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we tried that a few times. I really liked it, to be honest.
Mm.
Different, kind of a different feeling, but felt a bit higher up and the outsole's just completely flat. Have you guys worn them?
Yeah, the second model I put on, but not the first, actually. The first didn't really get to Australia that easily, I don't think, so...
Yeah, and then the ASICS Metaspeed Sky, I enjoyed them as well. Yeah, did a few sessions in them, but yeah, now back to the Vaporflies.
Yep, it's where the science lives, is they work, so we know they work.
Still number one. Yeah,
definitely the history's there.
Yeah, they're still leading the charge, Nike, but...
Yeah. Well, mate, all the best with your preparation into Tokyo.
Thank you. Cheers. Yeah, it's starting to ramp up a bit now.
We'll be following you, Gold Coast and Lonnie.
PB. Yeah, cool. Are you guys doing Launceston or Gold Coast?
Tom is, right?
I'm doing Tom's. The half again in at Lonnie, and then, I'll do the full Gold Coast.
Yep. Go for the win this year.
Yeah, hopefully. It'd be nice not having Brett there. No, it was good having him there, to be fair. You probably helped.
Competition dodging with that one, Tommy. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be a good race. Liam will be good, and Riley will be good, and Andy.
No, I heard so that. Yeah, I heard Liam.
I think Liam's doing the
10K.
Yeah, get in the 10, Tom. Come on, mate. Play with the big boys.
Tom's due a really good half marathon, I reckon. So with or without people, you're a bit of an introvert. You don't mind running by yourself, do you, Tom?
I'm a loner. I'll be all right.
Yeah. very good.
Right, yeah. All right. Thanks again, Jacko.
No worries. Thanks for having me, guys. Heaps,
Thanks, Matt.
All good.
All right.
Cheers. That's good. Well, guys, what have you got coming up in the next month? You're just trying to get injury free. Julie and Tom, you're just gonna be running yourself. Actually, I'm catching up with you this weekend for your 35th. You might be able to take me for a run on Saturday or Sunday. I'll be able to go for an hour at least, I reckon, by the time.
Do it. Let's tee it up, take it some concrete, some hills.
Got no other option. I'm staying near concrete, so yeah.
Oh mate, don't do it, Nitta. You can drive to places.
Bring the invincibles.
The last week of training I did with Tom cost me 2 years of good running. Still going.
He'll probably take you out on a Gary Howard special workout.
No, yeah. Close. All right, well, I'll see you this weekend, Tom, and Jules, good. Speak soon. Probably speak in 20 minutes when I'm bored on social media. All right, guys. All right. You have a good month.
See you guys. Bye.
See you later.